Chapter 32. Now, Senator. The hotel suite overlooked Times Square. It was almost 2 a.m. and the party had been going since midnight. The big bedroom was in a mess. Empty champagne bottles were strewn across the room, and an overflowing ashtray had been knocked onto the elegant carpet. The glass coffee table had a light film of dust surrounding several neatly formed lines of white powder. On the huge bed, 2 naked young women writhed and moaned as their bodies intertwined. In the armchair, and equally naked, a much older man watched wide-eyed as the sweat-covered females wrapped their bodies around each other. He leaned forward and hunched over the glass table, then, with a small golden tube, inhaled a line of cocaine into each nostril. "Ah!" he yelled, as his head went back, eyes closed tight. The couple on the bed continued their erotic contortions as the man stood, picked up a full bottle of Dom Pérignon, and then, laughing wildly, poured the contents all over the squealing women. The squeals of surprise turned to shrieks of fear as the door to the room was thrown open and 3 burly young men entered. The old man turned and, in a fit of cocaine-induced bravery, charged the intruders, the bottle now a weapon in his raised hand. The unfit and grossly overweight man rushed forward. "Bastards!" he yelled. The first intruder stepped aside and deftly tripped the lumbering drunk, causing him to crash into the wall. The old man slid to the floor, winded, mouth open. The second young man put a foot on the white, flabby chest, pinning the man to the floor. The third man smiled, knelt down, and took the bottle from the gasping man's hand. He raised the bottle to his mouth and slurped a few of the remaining drops of the sparkling liquid. Then, smiling, said, Now, Senator, just stay calm. Mr. Corrigan would like a word with you. In the penthouse on 5th Avenue, Sasha Corrigan watched as Senator David Ashton drank his 3rd mug of black coffee.
"I think I'm going to be sick," said the pale-faced politician.
The old mafia boss waved his hand. "Sergei, take this fool to the bathroom." Several minutes later, the semi-sobered man returned, eyes bloodshot red and breathing hard. Corrigan spoke quietly. "How are you feeling now, Senator?"
"I feel awful. And why am I here in the middle of the night?"
"Sit down, please," said Corrigan quietly. The shaking man took a seat on the fine leather couch. "How long have we known each other, David?"
"Can I have some water, please?"
"Sergei, a glass of water, please. So how long, David?"
"I don't know, maybe 12, 13 years?
He gulped the water down, coughing as the cool liquid caught in his throat.
15 years, said Corrigan. "We have known each other 15 years. And in all that time, have I not looked after your interests? Especially with your political ambitions?"
Yes, you have. But I have helped you too, Sasha."
"Indeed you have. And we have both enjoyed the benefits of our mutual support, have we not?"
"Sasha, it's late. I don't feel well. Can't we do this another time?" The old Russian stood, his voice hard, angry.
"You will do what I want, whenever I want it. Do you understand?"
The bloodshot eyes widened and filled with tears.
"Sasha, please, you should not talk to me like that. I'm an American senator."
Corrigan stepped forward and leaned menacingly over the trembling man.
"You are a degenerate cocaine addict and a sexual deviant, and you remain a senator because I choose to let you. Do you understand?"
Yes, I'm sorry, Sasha." The mafia boss resumed his seat. The calm voice returned. "Sergei, the gift, please." A large, royal blue velvet bag with a golden drawstring was placed on the table between the two men. The senator leaned forward, a puzzled look on his pale face.
"A gift for me?"
Corrigan smiled. "No, not this time. This is for our new president. You will take it with you when you return to Washington tomorrow."
The senator tried to speak, but the Russian raised his hand. You will not open the bag. You will hand the gift to the president in person tomorrow. You will not give it to anyone else. Do you understand? The shaking man stood up. Worry and fear were written all over his face. Sasha, this is not a device, is it? Kurigin stood and picked up the bag. Senator, do you really think we would blow up the new president? Don't be foolish. This is a gift, and it is a surprise. You will take it to him and say it is from you. But what's in the bag, Sasha? The Russian smiled. As I said, David, a surprise. But when he opens it, he will be delighted, and I assure you, very happy with you for presenting it to him. Very well, but I must get some sleep now. May I go, please? Of course, David, of course. And thank you for stopping by at such a late hour. I will see you very soon in Washington. Sergei, please take the senator back to his hotel. With the blue bag under his arm, the senator walked to the door, turned and said, Good night, Sasha. As the door closed, the old Russian said, Idiot. Lisa collected Jack from Union Station a little after 1 o'clock. He'd thought of his young travelling companion earlier in the day and his Occam's razor theory. He'd then spent the 3-hour trip going over all the documents stored on his smartphone and was surprised to find something that previously had not been obvious. On returning to the flat, they'd spent almost 2 hours talking about the meeting with the Russians and the plan Jack had formulated on the journey back to DC. Lisa was to play a key role in that plan, and especially in the next day's events.